Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast on the Fans First Podcast Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He's Levin Black. Happy Thursday, Levin.
Yeah, we actually started on time this week. It's amazing. And we don't have as many viewers as when we go late, so maybe we should be late from here on out.
I'll do my best. We have a jam-packed show for you today. 1 week away from the NFL draft, we are going to find out exactly what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch think of this roster. We have a ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous, Brandon Ayuk trade rumor to address. I almost feel weird bringing it up, but it was out there yesterday and people were talking about it, so we'll talk about it. And we have a very special announcement about the future of the network and, of course, this show. They'll do that at the end, so stay tuned for that. I want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network. If you leave us a rating and a review, I promise you we will read it on the show. Here's what I discovered in texting with you before the show today, Levin. You are a broken man. You are hurting. I don't know if it's just the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's the fact that Purdue got their ass kicked by UConn in the Final Four. I don't know what it is, or the National Championship, I should say. I don't know what it is, but you are a broken man. You have had less enthusiasm for this offseason than I can ever remember.
Yeah, it just, I've talked about it a little bit, but it's 100%. I'm over it. Like, the Niners have been so close so many times lately. They have not won a Super Bowl in my fandom because I became a fan immediately after the last one when I swapped schools and my best friend was a Niners fan. I went into the, not necessarily anarchy mode, but I'm very much a do whatever the hell you want. But until you actually win a Super Bowl, I'm not like, I still care if they win, lose, but like in terms of individual moves, it's not like you have to do this to win a Super Bowl. It's all right. Well, you keep doing things and it hasn't worked out. So until I see real change, I'm not going to sit and go crazy over every last little move, unless that move is a Brandon Ayuk trade, and then you'll see crazy.
I kind of would welcome crazy Levin, but we actually just got a little update to the Brandon Ayuk trade stuff, so we're going to bump that up in the rundown since it literally just happened. So there was a report yesterday from a Steelers outlet I don't even remember the name of it, to be honest. It was all Steelers. It was the Sports Illustrated, like, Steelers site. And they reported that the Steelers were going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, not for a first-round pick, which I believe they have number 20. No, no, no. That all it was going to take was a second-round pick and a late-round pick to get the deal done, and Levin. And they reported two other things. One, they'd be surprised if it didn't happen. And two, the Niners were going to kick in money and pay some of Brandon Ayuk's contract to get the deal done. It was the most unrealistic, ridiculous trade offer I have ever seen.
Yeah, I have learned something in my 4.5 years of living in Pittsburgh, and that's that Steeler fans are delusional. Like, even, I would say even more so than most, they think all their players are massively valuable and that they can get all other players for next to nothing. It's not like you always have, like, your fans who are delusional. They don't quite understand the details of, like, actual value and the reality of what it would take and all that. The problem is the content creators for Pittsburgh is mainly what I'm talking about here. Like, there's no buffer there. Yeah, the fans are the fans. You expect that from a good bit of the fans, because a lot of fans are more casual. You know, they don't follow other trades from other teams to understand then what it would take to get a player. But their content creators throw this out. Like, I saw another content creator a week ago for the Steelers saying that they think it would just take 2/3, a third this year and a third next year, and anything more would be overpaying. It's like, how are you a content creator and you're that far off base? But that's why it's like, I saw the rumor and I was like, oh, who said this? And the moment I saw it was at Steelers something, I was like, yeah, I don't care. It means nothing.
It's just, look, I have said many times, like, you don't have to be Adam Schefter to have sources. Like, there are people that are not National Insiders to have sources, and I fully admit that. When something pops up, I don't just immediately dismiss it, but I look at who it's coming from and what's the substance of the report and how much sense does that make, and it just doesn't make sense. If the 49ers are going to pay some of Brandon Ayuk's contract, they're going to pay all of his contract, and he's going to play for them. So it was just absolutely crazy, but there's been an update, Levin, because Brandon Ayuk's agent, Ryan Williams, chimed in on this exact report and said, he tweeted it 10 minutes ago, another, quote, report that couldn't be more incorrect. Fictional, quote, journalism should really stop. And he, quote, tweeted Chase Sr., who was talking about that report that we talked about earlier. I think it's really interesting on a couple of the reasons. It doesn't shock me that this report is not true. But this is the second time where Ayuk's agent has immediately gone to Twitter to put down the trade request talk and now this talk about, oh, he's probably going to go to the Steelers. Like, he has squashed it immediately, and it's not really to his benefit. Like, he doesn't get anything by doing this, and he's doing it anyway. So that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it shows it's a little different than the Debo situation.
Yes.
His agent is not trying to drum up other interests to kind of force their hand. You know, Debo's agent would have either not said anything or come out and said, oh, there have been talks, you know, like, just been real vague about it, but then created more of an uproar to try to get the Niners to budge. This shows me, like, I don't see Ayuk being anywhere else. I think there's mutual interest. Obviously, the Niners are interested, but I think Ayuk is very much I don't want to go anywhere else. You know, they just need to get to a fair market deal, and I'm waiting.
Yeah, clearly the idea that Brandon Ayuk is disgruntled is just not true. I know he had that great post on Instagram about money talks and BS walks, which was fantastic, by the way. Shout out to you, BA. But, like, if he were disgruntled, he would be using way more of the tools in his toolbox to get out of town. He wouldn't be showing up to the first day of voluntary workouts. And, like, this is a nothing. Like, they're having meetings, like, they're not doing anything, yet he is there day one. Justin Jefferson's not there for the Vikings. CeeDee Lamb isn't showing up for the Cowboys. Brandon Ayuk did. Brandon Ayuk had his agent go to Twitter and immediately say he has not requested a trade. Now his agent is active again today, putting down another report that Brandon Ayuk is going to be traded. If Ayuk was as disgruntled as some people seem to think, he wouldn't be doing all this stuff. He'd be doing the opposite.
You know what he would be doing if he was trying to play the Debo hardball? You would see a report of, oh, Brandon Ayuk did a workout with Trey Lance. That would be the, you know, twisting the knife in the negotiations. Go do a public workout, invite, you know, a media member to film it and get it up on social media of him working out with Trey Lance, just to kind of like turn that knife. But I did want to touch on another aspect of this, and this isn't directly at Chase, who we met at the Super Bowl, and I like Chase. It's at pretty much almost all others. Stop. You want this stuff to stop? Stop picking up and using it to get extra views and stuff, because that's what annoyed me more. You want to put out a false report? Whatever. It's when everybody else comes and picks it up and goes, there's a report Ayuk's going to be traded. Like, I saw multiple people do lives instantly to react to the report. I'm talking Niners content creators that were giving credibility to the report by doing that. They didn't come. You can do that, but then come with, when you come and say, let's preface this. This is a report from so-and-so. He says these things that don't seem very believable, but let's react to it. You know, but instead they're like, oh, Ayuk might be close to getting traded. Well, oh my, he's going to get traded. What happens if he does get traded? And they don't cover the part of credibility of their report. They ignore it, because by saying the report's not credible, they're going to get less interaction themselves. That's the part that bugs me, is the people who piggyback on obviously false reports to get a boost themselves. That's the part that bothers me the most. Like, don't do that. That's why these things happen. That's why false reports get put out there, because they know that other content creators will piggyback on it. And so then they get a ton of engagement through others helping them.
Yeah, I think you owe it to your audience to look at things critically and break it down. And again, I'm not saying Brandon Ayuk won't get traded to the Steelers. He might, yeah. But to get traded for 1 second and a late round pick and pay part of the contract, like, that's just not happening. Now, maybe if the 49ers got a first round pick and more, the Niners would kick in some money. That's possible, I suppose. But for the terms that were in that specific report, I just thought it was crazy. And again, Ayuk's agent literally has just tweeted 10 minutes ago that it couldn't be more incorrect. That's his actual wording on the tweet. Nicholas, watching on YouTube, says, Grant knows Pittsburgh reporter, quote, has a reliable source. Maybe it's a reliable source, but I just think
the reliable source can have agendas. That's what it reeks right of as me. It is Pittsburgh knowing they're not going to get Ayuk. Their fan base got excited about the possibility. The fan base, I'll tell you, the Pittsburgh fan base views this as, we have a window to win a Super Bowl with Russ. Like, they're not sold on Russ, but between Russ and Justin Fields and the talent they have on that roster and the defense, they think, hey, we could have a Super Bowl, so they should go all in and go get somebody like Ayuk. So to me, it reeks as, if he does have a reliable source, it is a source within the team putting this out there that, hey, we went, we tried, we thought we were close. It didn't end up working out, but we tried. You know, they're selling the fans on that we tried type stuff.
I like this from Frank, says, reliable. We are in the season of lying. Here's the thing. I'm not, I'm sure that guy does have somebody telling him, hey, this is happening. A source could be telling him that, but I just don't think it's credible. Why would the 49ers do that? Why would they be so desperate to get rid of Brandon Ayuk that they're just going to get a second round pick back and pay some of his money? It doesn't make sense. And
it doesn't
make
sense, because they could get that same value next year when you franchise him and then trade him.
And why would Ayuk's agent shoot it down? It's to no benefit to Ryan Williams and Team Ayuk for him to shoot this down. And yet he just did. So again, maybe someone's telling someone that this is happening, but based on what we know, the facts of the situation, to me, it doesn't seem like it's credible at all.
Right. And if he does have a reliable source, and this is the framing that he gave to it, oh, this is happening and that's what we're getting him for, you should be pushing back on that reliable source saying, how? Why would they do all of this? And if he doesn't have an answer, then you know, all right, well, I'm not going to run with this. Or I will run with it, but preface it that there's no real backing to why you're saying this. You know what I mean? Like, that's what journalism is supposed to be. And, you know, like, yeah, I am old school in that regard. Like, I would never, ever run a report without being given some kind of credibility to why I should believe this. And, like, I'm very hesitant to use anonymous sources. You know, like, back when I was a journalist, there was a coach who was fired that was fired under a bunch of, he was the most successful coach, one of the best ever in women's volleyball. He was fired unexpectedly. There were rumors about some things that might have happened, that he was like a tyrant type of thing. I met with him and his lawyer off the record. I could have used anonymous sources and run with a story. And this one, I was a student journalist, run with a story saying anonymous sources have said this because there was going to be like legal action for him to try to get money and stuff. I didn't. I told him I'm not doing anonymous sources when it comes to a case that would be legal. Like the legal system is getting involved. You either go on record or I'm not running with it. Like that's what journalism used to be.
Well, you have to be skeptical, right? Because like you said, sources have agendas. Everybody has an agenda. So, okay, you get this tip. Then before you run with it, like you said, your reaction has to be, wow, that seems really good for the Steelers. Why would the 49ers do that? And if that source has, you know, look, maybe that source has more info. Ayuk is going to, you know, burn the bridges or whatever, like whatever the justification might have been. You have to get that so that you can include it in the article, because the reaction of an informed fan base is going to be, why would the 49ers do that? So you need to have that in your article. And even just the way the article is written, it kind of paints Ayuk as being so disgruntled that he just wants to get out of town no matter what. And clearly, like we have said, that is not the case. Everything he has done and said shows that he's not as disgruntled as some people believe. So the whole thing is crazy. We weren't planning on starting with it today, but because the Ayuk, his agent responded to it, obviously that makes it more newsworthy. Frank says, when's the first game? Who's ready? Levin's ready.
That's what I told Rob. I'm ready to get this over with. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. I said, I'm ready to just get all this over with so we know what the team is doing. But one last point on that whole thing. Like maybe it was just like a blind text from somebody he knows that's within the team that said, hey, we're close to a deal. This is what's currently being on the table. And he said, asked a follow-up question. And maybe the source came back and said, that's all I can say right now. But then when you go write the thing, the way you put it is, I have a reliable source that says these things. When asked why the Niners would trade him for so little, he refused to elaborate at this time. So that there's the context to it. So then you know, as somebody reading that, okay, I have to take this with a massive grain of salt.
And that's, if you want to run with that, you can at least include that in the thing. I completely agree. That's a good point made by you. And I'm surprised that Grant has sort of chimed in on this. I mean, they do both work for SI, so maybe he's had conversations with him.
I'll put the comment up there for you. Because that's,
I don't know if that's true. So, Jan, if you're not watching the stream, Jan says, one SI clickbaiter vouching for another SI clickbaiter, shocker. I don't know if that's true. I'm not saying Grant would do that. Maybe Grant's had conversations with this guy off the record and he knows more than we do. I don't know. But to me, it just didn't pass the smell test at all.
It still doesn't. Woody, yes, I have not had good opportunity to bring up Woody lately. You are still known as Woody to my child. So when I have to go talk to Rob, she gives a blank look. When I say I have to go talk to Woody, she goes, oh, okay. She knows who you are.
Yes, I'm once again wearing a plaid shirt. It's a flannel shirt because it's freezing here in Connecticut today. It's like 49 degrees outside. So, you know, I had to go with a little heavier shirt. Just happens to be the flannel that has plaid on it.
Yeah, it's freezing like your takes.
Nick Eller, YouTube channel member, says Levin's batting 1,000 today. Don't worry, it's early. He'll come back down to earth. By the way, shout out to Nick and all our YouTube channel members. We love you. We appreciate you. Please consider becoming one. It's less than $3 a month. You get custom emojis. You get membership badges. You get priority comment response. All right, let's get into the actual meat and potatoes of what we want to talk about on today's show. The draft. It's 1 week away. I am in full anticipation mode. I'm getting more and more excited the closer we get to it. You and I are going to do a live draft stream show. I think Steph Sanchez is going to join us for some of that. She's very excited. Steph has been crushing it with her draft visit sheets. If you haven't gone,
she did a lot of work with the draft.
Yes, she is absolutely killing it. Her YouTube channel is 49 Carats. You can go and check. She's got interviews with prospects. Steph is hitting home run after home run this draft season. But as you said to me before we hit record here, we're going to learn the truth about what the 49ers think of this roster based on what they do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Specifically, I think the first 2 days. You get into the later rounds, whatever. You know, it's just them taking home run shots, basically looking for depth. But the first and second round specifically are them tipping their hand on what they think of the roster. If they go wide receiver, all right, you know for a fact either Ayuk or Debo's gone next year, in my opinion. If they go in the first two rounds wide receiver, you know writing's on the wall for one of them. Most likely in that scenario where Ayuk has not been traded, it would be Debo. Because if Ayuk's not traded by the end of the first, you know they're signing him. All right. If they go an offensive tackle, all right, you know they don't believe Colton McKivitz is necessarily a long-term answer there. To me, if they go tackle, what they're going to look to do is give that tackle a chance to earn the starting job, that Colton McKivitz splits his time in training camp. You know, like to me, it'd be like maybe Colton McKivitz gets half the first round or the first team reps at tackle. You get the rookie in there for some first teams. And then on second team, you have Colton McKivitz go over to right guard so that if the tackle is ready day one, he proved himself. He's a day one starter. Colton McKivitz slides into the right guard spot, but you keep the option open if that tackle's not quite ready. If they go like an interior offensive lineman, all right, you know he's filling in a guard and McKivitz is the tackle. You know what I mean? If they don't go offensive line or wide receiver, that tells you they're confident in Feliciano, Burford combo at right guard, McKivitz at right tackle, and running it back with this offensive line. Like their hand is going to be tipped. Do they have confidence in this offensive line or not? Are they preparing for a future without Debo or not? Those are the answers we get in the first 2 days.
First of all, I have to address this comment from Brother Bob, who says, shout out to Levin for being the best on this show. Bob, you're dangerously close to getting banned forever. I'm just throwing that out there.
Hey, Bob, don't worry. I have the power to unban you. So we'll undo that over and over.
You are walking a tightrope, my friend. So let's just keep the Levin praise to a minimum. They could also do something else, Levin, that you didn't include in those scenarios, which is they could go back to 2010. Do you remember what happened in 2010 in the first round of the draft? That was Anthony Davis at 11 and Mike Iupati at 17. They went tackle guard in the first round. Now, maybe the Niners don't go double up in the first round, but what if they go offensive line back to back?
That tells you that what we've said about this offensive line is 100% truth, and they knew it. The right guard and right tackle were the problems that cost them a Super Bowl.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It really did feel, just really quickly, in 2010 that it was like, oh my God, this team is loading up to run the hell out of the ball. When they took those two guys, I was like,
especially
weird.
The Iupati pick, like that guy was known as he's going to hit you and get out in space.
Right. Like they are just going to maul people flat out. I would be pumped if they did double up on the offensive line, frankly. The other thing you mentioned, like let's say they draft a tackle and that person looks pretty good. I don't know that it's a given that McKivitz has moved to guard. I think McKivitz would have to beat out Feliciano.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, he to me, like, the ideal situation in terms of splitting training camp, you start training camp, McKivitz has first-team reps at tackle. The rookie gets second-team reps at tackle. The first-team reps at right guard are split between Feliciano and Burford, and the second-team reps are then McKivitz. So that McKivitz is getting some time at both. The rookie's getting a chance. If you see the rookie doing well in that first couple days, maybe you start, all right, eating into the first team reps for McKivitz at tackle, giving that rookie a little bit more first team reps. You know what I mean? Like you can start to shift. All right, that rookie looks like he's going to be ready. We're going to start shifting, taking away the first team reps for McKivitz and giving McKivitz a little maybe first team reps at guard and pushing Burford to only splitting the second team, something along those lines. But that's how I would start it. Have McKivitz play both, but get first team, like have your first team what the starting lineup was last year. And then if the rookie proves himself, you adjust from there, but you're giving McKivitz some reps at guard right off the bat so that he's ready to swap. And it's not a, you know, you get past preseason game one and okay, you got 2 weeks to make the swap. You know what I mean?
I think honestly, I think Burford is out of the picture. I think they know.
He might be, you get third team reps only guy.
Because they split, he was splitting time and then Feliciano passed him out and became the starter. And then they quickly re-signed Feliciano in the offseason. Yeah. I think they know. Don't forget, Burford split time his rookie year too, before Feliciano was even part of the team. Like they never really.
Worse last year.
Yeah.
Especially so, as the season went on.
I just think, and especially with what happened on that massive third down play in overtime at the Super Bowl, where he comes out and says, like, I went rogue. Like,
yeah.
If you think that, you know, if Brandon Ayuk can get put in the doghouse for God knows what, that's really going to get you in the doghouse fast if you're going rogue on third down of overtime of the Super Bowl. So I think Burford is out
of the picture. Take multiple offensive linemen in this draft, like one early, one later, I will go ahead and predict Burford will be the most popular pick as a surprise training camp cut.
Yep. Jan is back. Says, hopefully we're not going for a third season in a row where offensive line is rotating. How many teams in the NFL even rotated offensive line? Almost none. That's the weirdest thing ever that the 49ers do. You're totally right. Like, if you, the only reason to rotate is because you don't have enough good offensive linemen. You know, like if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. It's the same thing with the offensive line.
Agree. Like, one, like you can't just rotate saying, well, this guy's really good at pass protection. This guy's really good at run blocking. We'll just rotate them. Cause then you tip your hand to the defense. Like it doesn't make any sense to rotate. There's no reason to rotate. I think they rotated because they thought Burford would develop and he never did.
Nick Ellert, YouTube channel member, says, do you guys feel like they have this line set up for two rookies? No real swing tackle, except Colton, backup guard, center guy is the starter. Colton should be the swing. If Colton McKivitz is your swing tackle, then you're like, all right, I feel a little better. I think that they're going to go at least one rookie on the offensive line. Two, I don't know. They'd
have to get some luck.
Yeah, I think it would depend on the board would really have to fall to them a certain way. Nick also says, I can see Jackson Powers or Graham Barton in the first round and Roger Rosengarten in the second round. I don't want Rosengarten in the first round. I feel like they could wait on him. If they got him in the second round, I'd be perfectly happy with that. But I hope they don't go Rosengarten in the first round.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because I would have been of the opinion, all right, if I'm at like give or take each year based on the draft, but if I'm at position 25 to 32, trade out every single time and pick up picks. But with that fifth year option, it depends on what you think of that prospect. If you think, hey, this guy might not be ready day one, but he's got as good of a chance as a top 10 pick to be somebody that we pick up the fifth year option because his potential is sky high and he's smart and we think he can fulfill it. He just needs a little development before he's there. Then you want to stay in the first round and get that guy. So you get that fifth year option on the cheap. Otherwise, yeah, you should trade out. Like I said it to you a month ago. I would not be shocked after all this talk of trading out, you getting higher in the first round, all these things. If what ends up happening is we sit all day that first day and then they trade out at 31 and they don't even make a pick that first day and they get, you know, somewhere in the low to mid 30s, you know, 37 or earlier, I would say. And then they also pick up like a third round pick or something like that by doing it.
I feel like if the 49ers do trade out of the first round, whoever they pick with their first pick in the draft, I feel like no one's going to have a problem with, right? Like if you trade out of the first and then you go Rosengarten in round two, I don't think anybody's going to be mad at that. But if you take him in round one, that would be frustrating. But you give me Rosengarten in round two plus extra picks, maybe an extra second, you know, like, okay, I could live with that.
It will be interesting. Like I am ready for whatever in this draft because I don't have a good feel on what the Niners are doing. Like normally you go, okay, they have this one glaring need. And so we know that those guys are expected to be picked prior to like pick 25. So there's a very good chance they're trading up. That's what I'm expecting, you know, or they have no need whatsoever. So I wouldn't be shocked if they trade out No, this is, they have needs. They're not necessarily massive needs, but it is needs. They need somebody there that can compete against the starters on the offensive line. So it's like, do they just sit at 31? At the same time, like, you know, I talked about why it would make sense to trade down. The counter argument to that is they have a bunch of picks and they don't have roster spots for all of them. So what's the point of adding even more picks unless they're loading up to be able to like trade up in round two, trade up in round three and use some of those extra picks and basically shift their picks to being, you know, five or six picks in the first four rounds rather than evenly spaced. But there's like arguments for everything. There's arguments for trading up. There's arguments for staying put. There's arguments for trading back.
Did you see the nugget from Matt Barrows? This is unbelievable. Every fifth round pick in the Shanahan Lynch era is still in the league. That's absurd for fifth round picks. Fifth round picks are such a crapshoot. Yet the 49ers have crushed it. If you're watching the stream, you can see the list. It's unbelievable. But that's actually what you just laid out is exactly what I advocated with on Wednesday's show with Grant Cohn. Mm-hmm. I could definitely support a trade down, trade up situation. Trade out of the first round, get some extra picks, then use a combination of those with some of the picks you have later in the draft, fourth round, fifth round, yada, yada, to move up and just get two, three, four picks in the first four rounds and just take your swing that way. I would be down. I could see that, and I would support that if they actually do it.
Right. I don't know what one I prefer, honestly. Part of me wants the exciting part of going wide receiver, and part of me selfishly wants that because I know that spells the end of Debo after this season. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of why I was like, ooh, we got a wide receiver. That's exciting. But also, I know, all right, Ayuk wasn't traded, and they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. So that means, yes, they are going to move off of Debo in the massive cap hits he has coming, which is, I think, a wise thing to do in the future. Part of me wants address the damn offensive line because I'm sick of the offensive line being the thing that holds this offense back. Mm-hmm. This like I feel like this team, if it had a, you know, let's say the 10th best offensive line in the league, well, they have a really good quarterback. They have one of the best wide receiver duos in the league. They have the best running back in the league. They have a phenomenal left tackle. If you can shore up the right side of that offensive line, this offense could go out and push for a record amount of points. Like, it's that good and talented of an offense. So part of me wants them to just address the one thing I think is a weak spot.
I think that the offensive line was really masked by Brock Purdy, his elusiveness and his ability to extend plays, and also Christian McCaffrey's just flat out ability to break tackles and make people miss. I do not think the offensive line was that good last season. And Christian McCaffrey led the NFL in rushing, which is incredible. But I think that has more to do with Christian and his incredible skill and what Brock was able to do. And let's face it, McCaffrey has had a ton of touches the last 2 years. Over 600 touches. He led the league in touches last year. He's going to be 28 this year. He's probably going to start slowing down a little bit. You can mitigate some of that if you improve the offensive line and he doesn't have to work as hard to gain his yards.
So let's touch on that a little bit more in depth, what you're hinting at there. You know, let's look the offensive line by pretty much everybody that goes into offensive line analysis was below average last year. Now, they're below average despite what? A quarterback that is, I would argue, one of the best at limiting helping the offensive line. Because you talked about the elusiveness, but the one thing you didn't mention is how crazy fast of a processor he is and how good he is at pre-snap diagnosing, which then allows him to get rid of the ball before the pass rush can get to him. You talked about Christian McCaffrey. You didn't talk about Kyle Shanahan and how good he is at scheming to help limit those things. Mm-hmm. So you'll look at all three phases, like they have as much help as you could possibly have in the league to make them look better than they really are. And yet they still graded out below average. So that tells you if you make them stand on their own, just true talent, they are right there as one of the worst in the league. And that's with a Hall of Fame left tackle that is still the best left tackle in the league right now. So that tells you how bad the other four are doing right, to fall down to that level. Like, you literally have the most important position being the on the offensive line being the best in the league. You have a quarterback that helps, a running back that helps, a coach that helps, all three of which are among the best in the league at helping, and yet you're still doing bad. That's how bad this offensive line is, and that's why they need to address it.
I completely agree. Tajusinator, YouTube channel member, says, better O-line also helps them send Kittle on pass routes instead of staying in to block. Nick Ellert says, Mayoko keeps trotting out how good they were. Like, I don't know what that's based off of. It's only, you could only say that if you just say, well, Christian McCaffrey had a really good year, so the offensive line must be really good, which is faulty reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive lines weren't always good in Washington when the Mike Shanahan's was getting a bunch of yards out of Alfred Morris and other guys that weren't top end running backs. Like, that's the part I would look at is Christian McCaffrey led the league by a very wide margin in yards after contact.
Yes.
He took the crown from Derrick Henry. If you have a mediocre running back instead of Christian McCaffrey, how far do they fall? I would argue probably a good, you know, instead of what Christian McCaffrey put up, you see the starter with the same number of touches and the same rushes and everything else, probably have 200 to 300 yards less, which is a significant amount. Christian McCaffrey is why they had the league leading rusher.
If
it wasn't Christian McCaffrey and it was a mediocre guy like Alfred Morris or Mike Anderson before him in Denver with Mike Shanahan, you're getting, you know, 1,200 yards and somebody else has the rushing crown.
And look, like you said, the line has not graded out properly. We know Trent Williams is really good. While you were talking, I looked it up really quick. Here's the PFF grades of the offensive line. Aaron Banks, 54.9. Jake Brendel, 63.9. Spencer Burford, 50.4. And Colton McKivitz, 65.1. Now, look, you may hate PFF. You may think that, you know, we can't take them as gospel. And I would be fine. Fine. That's great. Don't take them as gospel. But I also don't think they're so horribly off that they're grading Aaron Banks at a 59.4, whatever it was. And he's really the second best guard in the league. Like, it just take these as ballpark figures. And when you do that, the rest of the line is not good. They need to improve there. And hopefully they do. And I agree. Like Jim Harbaugh said it at the owners meetings. He said the offensive line is the only part of your team that doesn't depend on anybody else to be good. And it makes every other part of your team good. And I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that wholeheartedly. I get what he's getting at, but we just talked about how you make the offensive line look better than they really are. You can make the same argument for the defensive line then. I mean, it's the same area. It's the trenches. Your defensive line isn't helped by a secondary that has great coverage. Of course they are. Your offensive line isn't helped by having a running back that can make tacklers miss. Of course they are. Your offensive line isn't helped by having a guy like Lamar Jackson avoid a bunch of would-be sacks. Of course they are. I don't know. I agree with that, but I get the point he's getting at.
Well, they don't depend on that to be good, right? Like, if you're like Christian McCaffrey, I guess this sort of undermines what I'm about to say, but like, if your offensive line is bad, your running back is going to have a really hard time being good. He's a lot of his success depends on the offensive line being good. The offensive line can be good without help from anybody else.
That's true of like a defensive line. If you have a ridiculously good defensive line, doesn't matter what the offensive line does. They're going to stop that run. And it goes the other way. If you have a terrible offensive line at stopping the run, guess what the other team's going to do? Just keep running it. And that to me is the most like defeated feeling in football, is when your defense can't stop the run and they're just getting easy yards after easy yards and moving the chains. Like, I think it's different when like, oh, that was a coverage break, or coverage sucks, they make mistakes and they got a long touchdown out of it, instead of like the, yeah, they're getting 5 to 8 yards every single time. But the defensive line, you can make the same exact arguments for.
That's fair. Jan says the offensive line is good when the defense is guessing, when they know if a run or a pass is coming, our offensive line isn't good. I would agree with that completely. John Shoup on YouTube says, Rob, if you want to get really mad, look at where they rate versus others at their position. I think Trent is the only one in the top 25 at his position. Yeah, like, I just don't know how you could see this team play every week and argue that the offensive line is good enough. Like, I don't. We talked about Steph Sanchez and all the work that she has been doing, and she's been doing a ton of work. There's a really good article in The Athletic by Matt Barrows talking about who the 49ers have visited with and what that means for who they're going to pick. And for example, I'll just read from the article. Last year, the Niners hosted 5 of their 9 picks: Jair Brown, Cam Latu, Darrell Luter Jr., Braden Willis, and Jalen Graham. They also had an extensive workout with Jake Moody. The year before that, 5 of the 9 draft picks also visited, including the first 4 taken. So you can generally see some trends with the Niners with who visits, but this year they've done kind of a weird thing, Levin. They haven't really had a top 30 visit with anyone that's definitely going in the first round. If you look at who they visited with, it's guys like Marshawn Neyland, who's a first or second rounder. Yeah. Malachi Corley, who's definitely not going in the first round. Andrew
Phillip. Can I say Malachi is like top 10, great name. I love that name.
All right. That's a really weird reason to derail my thought process, but sure. But most of their visits are guys that are projected to go by Dane Brugler in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. So you really, I feel like, are not getting a truly accurate picture of what the 49ers might do in the first round based on their visits.
It means one of two things. The first being they plan to trade out.
Right.
And thus they're not looking at first round talents. To me, that's less likely, because even if you are planning to trade out, you're still planning to get into the, you know, like I said, like 33 to 40 range. So there's going to be first round guys still sitting there at that point. So you'd still visit with them. So I lean towards the second option, which is they don't want anybody to know what they're planning. That they do have a clear, we are targeting this, and we don't want anybody to know we're looking at that position.
It's possible. Mike McGlinchey was a top 10 pick and he didn't visit with Santa Clara. So it's something that they have done before. Seems a little weird to throw up a smokescreen at 31, but hey, keep them guessing, right? Never let them know your next move.
Well, I do think like that's wise, because that is an area where your picks 27, 28, 29, 30. If you look at those picks, one of those is traded almost every year for a team that is out of first round picks and they went back into the first round to get somebody. So it's wise not to tip your hand, because somebody will leapfrog you. They'll trade their early second round pick or mid second round pick tied with a second round pick next year or whatever it takes to leapfrog you and get that fifth year option, because they see somebody like, hey, that's a day one starter that we think is very likely we would want that fifth year option. So we're going to go ahead and trade up and get that guy. So you don't want to tip your hand. You know, let's say the Niners are going wide receiver. They tipped their hand by having visits with a bunch of the guys that are after the top 3. Well, then if one of them's sitting there at 28, 29, 30, it would be very likely some team is going to jump you to get that wide receiver. They're not going to let him fall.
Yeah, that's true too. And the Niners will trade up when they like a guy. So I you're right. I guess I could see the value in that.
As they did their due diligence and they didn't go, I don't care about that position, I'm not looking at it again. Because that's burned them. And I don't want to see that ever again.
I don't know if you caught any of my show with Grant yesterday. There were these two economists that did a study on the NFL draft that I'm like fascinated by. And the basic conclusions they came to are, we way overvalue first round picks, and that you should trade down if you can whenever possible, because essentially you get more lottery tickets and more chances to win the lottery. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Yeah, and I have for a very long time. I think it's the only time I would not subscribe to that theory is if you have like a top 1 or 2 picks and there's a clear cut, hey, this guy, like the Nick Bosa situation. Like, I was still in favor of, I wouldn't have been against trading down just because of Nick Bosa's injury history, but I was okay sticking there. But I put out in my ideal draft of that year, I said trade down, I think it was to 5th, get Josh Allen, and then pick up a later first. I forget what team it was, but pick up a later first. That was my ideal spot, but that's because I liked Josh Allen almost as much as Bosa. But like, when you have a true Nick Bosa situation, like, it's okay to stick there. But in most years, I would argue there's not somebody like that. Like the quarterback situation with Kyler Murray that same year, I would not have stayed at 1. It's not a good enough prospect. It has to be a like true, like, hey, this is the level of prospect that only comes every 5 to 10 years at quarterback, where we know we're getting somebody that is good enough to win us a Super Bowl if we get the rest of the roster there type situation. All the other times I'm trading down and stockpiling picks. And that keeps paying dividends, because once you do that in a year or two, you know, like say your first 2 years, you have such a stockpile of picks that you're still able to take a first round pick and gain future picks, because you're going into every draft with two picks once you trade down a couple times. So you're able to keep kind of churning it over. The reason teams don't do that, in my opinion, is if you do that for your first 2 years, you know, if you came in, you took over a team, you took them over in a large majority of situations because they suck. If you do that for the first 2 years, you're not going to improve. And if you don't improve in 2 years,
you're fired. Sucking,
you're fired. So they can't afford to do it. The one thing I did pick up on when you were talking about that study is it's a little outdated of a study, because first round pick, fifth year options are now a thing, as well as salaries are not as crazy high as when that study was done. Because I think you said that study was from years ago.
Yeah, it was from when Daniel Snyder first became an owner of the Washington football team.
Which is when rookie salaries were massively high. Now they're not. So I would argue those first round picks aren't as dangerous, because it used to be like if you make a top five pick and you miss, it cripples your salary cap for multiple years.
Right. That was always the devastating. Like the Trey Lance thing, if there was no rookie wage scale and the Trey Lance situation happened, the 49ers would be screwed.
He would be making 30 plus million.
He'd still be on the team. Yeah, he would still be on the team.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Nick Ellert says, ESPN announces a trade on day one. What would you bet it is? An Ayuk trade, a trade up, or a trade down? It's a good question. Thank you, Nick. I would say it's going to be a trade down. I don't feel really confident in that, though, but I think I'll say trade down. I think the 49ers feel like they don't have any pressing needs. And if this draft is as deep as it is at positions like offensive line and like wide receiver, I could see them saying, we like guys enough that are still going to be on the board that we'll take the extra picks. Thank you very much.
If I had to rank these in terms of what I'd be willing to bet on, I would say trade up. I don't think they'll do a significant trade up, but I think they're going to be sitting and, you know, you're going to get into those 25 or so later where there's the guy that they're still wanting. And they go, we don't need all these picks, you know, and they're going to trade to get up to there and get that guy that they see as a day one starter, or, you know, a clear Debo replacement who will also push them over the edge in terms of receiving options this year, which, by the way, that is an option. If they go wide receiver and don't address the offensive line, it sucks for Kittle. But that means, hey, we can have these three wide receivers still have great receiving options, keep Kittle in to help that offensive line. So the offensive line gets a benefit, as well as we still have the receiving. I don't like it. But then second is trade down. For the reasons we've already talked about, I'm not going to go into again. I think Ayuk is way down the list. I don't think it's likely Ayuk's traded at this point.
Me too. I completely agree with that. That, like we talked about, trade down, trade up, that could be a very realistic thing. There was one more note I wanted to get to. Oh, I remember what it was now. I heard Scott Pioli, former GM of the Patriots, talk about with a lot of his visits, they actually would use them a lot of times on guys that they were going to target after the draft was over in free agency, because basically it was almost like a recruiting thing. It was like, hey, look, we know we're not going to draft you, but we really believe in you. Here's what we can do for you. Here's what we have planned for you. So it was a way for them to sort of recruit in the undrafted free agent arena, which is actually kind of a smart thing. And I saw this tweet from Wayne Breezy, and it really kind of shocked me. I hadn't realized it. The Niners have been really good with their undrafted free agent classes. I'll read some of the names. Kendrick Bourne, undrafted free agent. Emmanuel Mosley, Azeez Alshire, Jermichael Hasty contributed for a little while, Jordan Mason, undrafted free agent. So they have hit on a lot of guys in that market that really a lot of teams don't do. And like we said, a lot of their visits that they've had this year have been with guys who are projected to go later in the draft or possible priority undrafted free agents.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to even just be like recruiting. I'm sure that's part of it. But it's also like, if you're bringing in an undrafted free agent, a big part of that is you got to make sure he has the right makeup. Somebody that's going to be motivated after getting passed on, that isn't going to be somebody that like starts to doubt themselves, things like that, is going to be somebody that's willing to take a back seat, but at the same time is going to be hungry and want to go all out 100%, because that's what you want. The guys at the bottom of your roster, you want to, when they get the 2, 3, 4 plays early in training camp, to show themselves. They come in and they're wanting to run through a wall. You know what I mean? Like, I know T.O. wasn't undrafted, but the story I always remember where he earned a lot of his draft stock, because he came from a tiny little school, right, was at the it was either the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Bowl, one of those. After, he was diving into the stands to try to catch balls to make sure nothing got past him, proving, hey, like, yeah, I came from a small school, but this is what you're getting, a guy that gives it all the time. And that helped his draft stock. So just getting to sit in the room with those guys, you can pick up on their demeanor and whether or not you think they're the right fit.
You don't remember what college T.O. went to?
Tennessee Chattanooga, of course.
There you go. Why do you keep saying this small school? Show the people that you know.
I don't worry about what other people think of me.
One last thing before we go. We teased it at the top of the show. First, I should let people know we will be doing a live draft stream during the draft. Not for the whole first round, because the 49ers, you know, they don't pick till 31. But we'll have a live draft show. That's why you got to click the bell. You'll get notified every time we go live. And, of course, we will be at the ready. If the 49ers do the crazy thing and trade way the hell up, hop right on YouTube, because we'll be there ready to break it all down. But I just wanted to let people know that. Last thing, quickly, just an announcement about the network in general. If you're watching the stream, you'll notice we've got a new logo in the upper right-hand corner, the Fans First Sports Network. We have been with them for the past year. We had some offers from multiple other companies to leave Fans First and go join some other networks. Some really incredible offers, some great offers. But ultimately, we have decided to stay with the Fans First Network. We're really happy with our partnership so far. We're really looking forward to what's going to come in the future. A lot of the podcasts that were with SB Nation that got laid off formed the Fans First Sports Network. We're trying to add more, and we think there are very big things to come. And so we just wanted to say how grateful we are to Fans First, obviously, for everything they've done for us. They were a big part of why we were able to go to the Super Bowl, and we think there's a lot of big things to come.
I don't understand it. It's a great mystery in life, but apparently Rob is very desirable.
Shut up. I am desirable, damn it.
Well, yeah, to your wife.
I'm not going to comment on that. It's a credit to the audience that we have here and how so many people were willing to follow us from Niners Nation. So it's really all about the support that you've given us that we are so, so grateful for. Nobody would be interested in this podcast if we didn't have the audience that we have, and we have that audience because you've chosen to support us. So thank you to everybody out there. We will never, ever take that for granted.
Yeah, it's nice to have been able to keep going.
1,000%. And
it's a nice outlet for me. I know you do it all day, every day, and it's your day job. But for me, this is like my one day a week where I get to go talk to somebody that actually knows what I'm talking about and doesn't just spew random crap they saw. And they only know half the truth. That drives me nuts talking with normal people.
There's a lot of that out there. But no, it means a lot that Fans First has taken care of us in the way that they have. Hopefully you're going to see us at a lot of the big events going forward, drafts and Super Bowls. Even if the 49ers aren't there, we should be able to go out and cover that for you. So that's really exciting. And look, they've taken care of us, and it's allowed me to be able to take care of you, Levin, and everybody else on the network, you know? I'm grateful for that everybody stuck with me and that I haven't been able to pay you guys very much. We're working on that. We've given everybody raises, and I'm just so happy to be able to do that because I appreciate everybody's support.
Yeah, it's good you gave us a raise. I was going to have to start trying to create a union here with the other guys. If you didn't,
any talk of unions will result in firing. No,
can you tell I live in Pittsburgh talking about union?
But anyway, so that's an announcement. You'll see more and more support for the Fans First Network. You can hear a lot about the Fans First Network going forward. I would advise if you are a podcaster out there, you have a podcast, you're looking for a home, hit me up at Stats on Fire. I'm sure we would love to have you. We're always looking for talent. So just get ready for that going forward. Big things to come for sure. Levin, what do you got going on the rest of the day?
Not a whole lot. My bathroom is being remodeled. I don't think actually we got lucky. There wasn't too much loud noises that didn't come through, but it's going to be a lot of like trying to stay out of the house because of that.
Ah, okay. Well, good luck with that. I've had not had good luck with contractors in the past, so I hope you have better luck than I do. But we will be here next week, live draft show. Please, please join us. Like and subscribe. Click the little bell so you don't miss it. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody. We'll talk in the first round of the NFL draft.